Now the words Happy New Year rang throughout our communities as we approached the new year. I'm sure there's a lot of people right here that watched the ball drop. Amen. And ushering in a new year. And I know this is just an expression projected every year around this time, as one's observed the going out of one and the ushering in of another. There's going to be lots of New Year's resolutions made as we start the new year. There's going to be ones resolved to quit smoking. And then the number one on the list is lose weight. That's always a catcher, especially, amen, after you come through the Christmas and the New Year's season. And then there's others that say spend more time with friends, and spend more time with family and so on. And every one of these resolutions are very good. But not too many resolve in wanting to get closer to the Lord. While every one of these is very good, there's not one of them that actually prepares you for heaven. They're all fleshly commitments. But as time is moving rapidly along, I believe we as the people of God really need to draw as close to God as possible. You don't hear too much being said about having a deeper consecration to the Lord. There's not a thing wrong, I say, with making resolutions, and I'll get into that just a little bit. Philippians, the third chapter. And I'm not going to hold you long tonight. You've been very faithful in the meeting. And I'll get right into this. And you know me, I get right in and get out. Philippians 3 and 9. Paul writes, he said, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended for of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Paul had just said that he came to the conclusion that all his Jewish privileges and attainments were nothing but a total loss. He's really saying, all my life, I've been trying to get into the right relationship with God. And he's saying, I tried to find it by strict adherence to the Jewish law. But I found the law and all its ways worse and useless to achieve that end. Amen. But the law did work. Amen. An effective work in his life. Somebody say, what you mean? By the law came the knowledge of sin. Amen. Romans 7 and 6. Let's look at it. By the law, I want to repeat, came the knowledge of sin. Romans 7 and 6. Now we're delivered from the law, that being dead when we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law has said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, or before knowledge came. But when the commandment came, sin revived, came alive, and I died. Without the law, or without knowledge, sin is dead. That's exactly what he's saying. That's one of the main reasons why, when ones are doing good, they are not doing good, they don't want to sit under the gospel. That's the reason why people don't want to come to the house of God, amen, when they're struggling spiritually. Why? They come under knowledge. They come under the law. Amen. They're reminded of what they should do, and sin revives. It comes alive. It irritates. It troubles their conscience. Amen. And so, amen, mainly they want to stay out of the services. Amen. It makes sin exceeding sinful. The power of sin, which was before dormant, became quickened and alive in Paul's life. The law was a teacher. It brought knowledge of sin. Galatians 3:24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that word schoolmaster actually means instructor or tutor. Otherwise, it taught you what sin was. Amen. It restrained us. It rebukes us. And keeps us as a teacher does their pupils. The whole law was designed, amen, to be an introductory to Christ. The sacrifices, the offerings were designed to show forth the Messiah and to introduce him to the world. Now I want to get to the main thought of the message tonight, and the perfecting that's needed in 2018. He said at the end of Philippians 3:8, that I may win Christ. Now we know he had lost Christ, but he realizes to win the race, he had to press on. Verse 8, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Ephesians 4:11-12, familiar scriptures. Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles, not all apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The Christian always needs perfecting. Amen. You haven't got it attained. Amen. You don't have it made. You have no place to sit on your laurels. Always needs perfecting. The word means a fitting or a preparing. Paul said in Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The mark, the goal, to be more like Jesus. And the end result is heaven in the end. There's always room for growth for the Christian. Philippians 3:13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, for this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. Amen. The one thing that he mentions involves two things. What are they? Forgetting and reaching forth. We cannot and dare not rest on past attainments. There's more for every one of us to attain to, and room for it to grow, for us to grow in our spiritual walk with Christ. 2 Corinthians, 7th chapter, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. There's that word again, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now we know that when we bow at an altar of prayer, there's a cleansing take place through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. And you can read that in Romans, the 3rd chapter, that all blood, he's propitiation for our sin, the blood cleanses from all sins of the past. Amen. But God wants us to go on and perfect ourselves. As we walk through this life, there are going to be appear things that we ourselves are needing to get rid of. Exodus 12 and 2, just a part of that, part of this chapter. This month shall be unto you the beginning of the months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. And in that chapter, he deals with the Passover, the coming out of Egypt, the death of the firstborn. Amen. And the first part of Luke 16 and 4 says, I am resolved what to do. Resolved means what? Committed. I'm committed. There are many avenues I, as a pastor, feel I can improve on. And by the grace of God, I'm going to tackle them. Amen. When? Right in the beginning of months of the new year. We can profit by mistakes of the past. We can turn past failures into future successes. Now we know resolutions made in themselves don't amount to too much, but you attach them to the grace of God. Amen. You need to attach them to the grace of God, or they just become wishful thinking. Resolve, church. Let's resolve to make this the best year of our lives. The best year of our lives. How? Being more diligent. How? Start right out with something we know is very necessary. Our prayer life. Our prayer life. Using Jesus and the apostles as an example. In our church attendance. And then also in our praise. You know the Psalms are full of praise. Our brother there, amen, that didn't have what we have. And all you read out through the Psalms is praise. The scripture says in Psalm 33 and 1, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Psalm 147 and 1, praise ye the Lord, for it's good to sing praises unto our God, for it's pleasant. Praise is comely. What's that word mean? Befitting, suitable, proper. That is the upright. The righteous have abundant cause to praise God. And it's for them a suitable employment, for praise becomes the saints of God. God put within you praise when he saved you. You know what else he put within you? A spirit of evangelism. Can you in your mind go back to when you got saved? That song, they would stand in different times of when you got saved. Do you remember when you first got saved? Do you remember the spirit of evangelism that was attached to that salvation? What do you mean? You wanted to tell everybody. And you did not care who heard you. Amen. We received the woman which Jesus met at the well. When she received a revelation over him as Messiah, the scripture says what? The woman left her water pot in John 4:28 and went away in the city and saith, what's he saying to the men? Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then what happened? They went out of the city and came unto him. Let's do this tonight, church. Let's ask God to help us win souls. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every one of us that are saved won one soul? Just one? Everyone that's saved in this building, myself included, wouldn't it be wonderful? We individually won one soul to Christ. Not necessarily two, not three, but just one. Let's go through some things hurriedly that maybe we would need to improve on, maybe in this 2018. Remember, we can make resolutions, but those resolutions are not attached to the grace of God. They're just wishful thinking. Let's look at one. Controlling your temper. You know, saints of God, when you get saved, if you had a temper before you were saved, you still got one. What's needed? The word is temperance. Temperance. Let's read it. Galatians 5:22. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness and faith, meekness and what? Temperance. Against such there is no law. Temperance. To control the temper. We need a temper, church, against wrong. But it's be used in the right way. And it needs temperance that it doesn't get out of control. Somebody said, who are you talking to? The saints of God. The saints of God. There's enough things out there to encourage your temper. There's enough things out there, amen, to stir up the flesh. But there's a need for temperance. And that only comes through the Holy Spirit to control it. And then there's unforgiveness. Do you know there's ones that carry attitudes for years, years, and are stalemated in their spiritual growth? Amen. I have never seen a time when people go right on, worship God, and they've got something in their heart against somebody. Unless I'm mistaken, and I don't believe I am, if you've got something in your heart against somebody, God hasn't forgiven you. Isn't that not in the Bible? Let's read it. Matthew 6:14. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. A little boy was asked what forgiveness meant to him. And he gave a beautiful answer. He said it's the odor that flowers breathe when they're trampled on. Isn't that a beautiful thought? It's the odor, amen, it comes out of the flowers that they breathe when they're trampled upon. Those who harbor unforgiveness are in worse shape than the one who offended them. The one who offends them could go on and get saved. But as long as you carry that unforgiveness, you're stalemated in your experience. Unforgiveness leads to bitterness. James 3:11 says, "Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter?" Amen. Sweet water. Amen. And bitter. In many things, nature is a guide to us. But no such inconsistency is found in the natural world as blessing and cursing in man. No fountain at the same opening sends forth water, amen, bitter and sweet. Nowhere do you find where it sends fresh and salt together. No fig tree can bear olive berries. No vine can bear figs. Nor can the sea produce salt water and fresh from the same place. These are all contradictions. They're impossibilities in nature. Where does it happen? Only in us. Only in man is there contradictions that occur. Let's all do our best this year, church, to be more diligent in all things. Are you ready? Let's go through a few things. More diligent in choir. That would involve choir practice. Choir practice. I understand they got a whole bunch of sopranos, but when choir practice comes around, amen, you must have been the place that must have, the rapture must have hit. They've all taken off. How can you have practice, amen, if the choir's not there? Now, I understand. I've always been fair about things. Try to be. I understand their sicknesses. But excuses don't work. Because you know that same excuse you give the choir director, you're going to have to give God on Judgment Day. Diligence and choir practice. More diligent in Sunday school. Wow, you knew I had to get there, didn't you? Harp, harp, harp on Sunday school. More diligent in Sunday school. It's amazing how many would be in the adult class, amen, if they were all there. I think one of the highest numbers we had is 82 one day. But Sunday school class is over here. It's not out here. You know, I'm going to have to do this. I'm going to have to get with Brother Smith, Brother Miller. Send a teacher out here. The ones that sit out here in the auditorium while Sunday school is going on, that's a disgrace. And I don't care who you tell about it. I need to send a teacher out. Amen. And teach them out here in the auditorium. Now, I understand people get in late and all this, but what's wrong with walking in late to Sunday school class? Amen. I always ruin it for you, don't I? Sunday school, Sunday school, Sunday school. That's all you hear. You hear it from me, you hear it from Brother Sesher, you hear it from all the rest of them. Amen. It seems to be the theme of the message. Sunday school. But why in the world can't you get out of bed and come to Sunday school? You know what the reason is? You stay up so late on Saturday night. Now, I've stayed up plenty late on Saturday night. Amen. I've been in the study to 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, but I still want to get out of that sack and come to Sunday school. Amen. More diligent at work days. When work days arise. Not the same old, but more diligent. Brother Bush announces work day. Sister Bush announces a work day. Nanette announces it. Amen. Do our very best to go there and help shoulder the load. Working together, doing our very best to make the work here at God's Acres a success. Doing our very best to make the work, amen, make the work, amen, more comfortable and more easier to take care of when there's many hands. The work here is a great work. It takes many hands working together with God to make it a success. We also might have to work on our kindness. Our friendliness. To be more loving and long-suffering. As a pastor, I bring myself right into this. As I was studying this, I thought of myself, not just you, I thought of myself. I'm going to work harder than ever to be a better pastor. Somebody said, what are improvements needed? I'm not going to tell you. But I guarantee you, I can improve. So can't you. There's a perfecting work. I haven't got it made. You haven't got it made. And who knows? 2018 might be the year we check out. You don't know that. There are places I feel I need to improve on. And I don't want to wait and allow time to pass before I improve. We're in a battle for souls. And as the world waxes worse and worse, the church needs to get better and better and more perfected. Exodus 12:2 again. This month, January, shall be unto you the beginning of months, the first month of the year to you. Now again, I want to say this. You'll never keep any resolution unless you attach it to the grace of God. It's by grace we are what we are. This month is the beginning of months, and it's the best time to start. Where? Right in the beginning. Let's not just put it off. Let's start right now. Who knows what's going to take place this year? Just God. He knows what's going to happen. Amen. I may check out this life this year. Who knows what I might do this year? There's lots of options out there. Amen. But God only knows. And who knows what you're going to do this year? I know one thing. I sure want to be ready for whatever takes place. Finally, we want to improve on our spirituality so we can effectively build up the kingdom. Jesus said that he's going to deliver up on the last day. I want to help work on that kingdom. Make it a better kingdom. Put more in the kingdom. Amen. So Jesus can deliver it up on the last day. I'm going to have a stand. And we're going to sing a verse of invitation. And if the Lord has showed you anything tonight, wonderful. But whatever you do, resolutions or whatever it is, attach the grace of God to it. And it's amazing. You singers are up front. Really, really seek God's face. We have good singers here. We have good spiritual singers. And really attach it to the grace of God when you sing. When you play an instrument. Amen. And the messages. When I come before you, amen, I want to make sure that I've done my part to truly study and pray and search God's word. We're going to sing a verse. If you have a need, fine. If you don't, we're going to dismiss, but we're going to dismiss anyhow, whether you have a need or not, but we're going to give you time. All right.